I'm thankful for the invitation to come and to worship God with you today. A little bit of way of introduction. Been announced I'm Don Hastings. Preached full-time for 44 years. The last 8 years of my preaching was with Mark Gibson. And I heard some of you know Mark. He's the brother of David Gibson. And enjoyed working with him very much. Mark's a real good Bible student. My wife died last year, and so I moved up here to be with my son and daughter-in-law. They live near Columbia, and I got four beautiful grandchildren and another one on the way. And so my daughter-in-law needed some help, and I felt sorry for her. And I'm busy watching grandchildren while she goes to the doctor and whatever other things she needs to do. And I'm happy to do that. I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 25 through 34 for our text. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Here we find Jesus saying, do not worry. You know, it's easy for us to tell somebody, don't worry about it. But it's extremely difficult for us not to worry over various things in this life. We can learn from God's word how to overcome worry. And what a great accomplishment that is. You hear so much today about people, oh, I'm so stressed. Well, let's learn from God's word why we should not worry. This is a command of the Lord. It's not a suggestion. And the Lord wouldn't command us to do something that we didn't have the ability to do. And so we can train ourselves not to worry. And we must do it because our Lord has told us to do it. Both worry and peace of mind do not come from the circumstances under which we live, but they are the result of our minds. And that's why I say we need to train our minds and to teach ourselves not to worry. Anxiety is forbidden, because it shows a lack of faith in the goodness and the care of our Heavenly Father. While we claim to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is truth, our minds being troubled with fear and anxiety and apprehension proves that our faith is very weak or is dead. How can we rely on the mercy of God in the hour of death if we cannot trust Him during our lifetime? Jesus is not forbidding our giving forethought to obtaining material things. We should plan for how we're going to obtain material things and provide for our own. In fact, 1 Timothy 5:8 said, if any provide not for his own, especially they of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so we must provide for our own. But what Jesus is forbidding is our being overly concerned, our being anxious and troubled so that we're not able to rest, can't sleep at night. We have no peace of mind. All joy is taken out of this life. We're so troubled and upset that we don't realize the blessings that God gives us, and therefore we fail to give thanks. We can be so overcome with worry and anxiety that we become useless to the Lord and are not working as we should in His service to bring glory to Him. William Barclay, in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew, he said, "Worry affects a man's judgment, lessens his powers of decision, and renders him progressively incapable of dealing with life. Let a man give his best to every situation. He cannot give more. And let him leave the rest to God." And that's so important there. Just do your best, whatever your task is, and leave the rest to God. Put your faith and your trust in Him. We must have the proper view of this life. We need to be far more concerned about our spiritual life than this physical life. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, he said, "If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of this earth." And so we've been raised together with Christ in baptism, and we're to seek the things that are above. Those are the things that should be very important to us. Verse 25 begins with the word "therefore." That means that the following verses are connected with the preceding verses. So let's back up to verse 19 and see what Jesus has said. He said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The word mammon's an Aramaic word for riches. Jesus said you can't serve God and riches. "Therefore, do not worry about your life." Who is your master? Is it material things? Is that what you're devoting your life to obtaining? Is that what you find that consumes your energy and your attention? Do you allow your possessions to possess you? That you're constantly concerned about getting more possessions and retaining the possessions that you do have? Just what are we giving our time and energy and thought to? That's our master. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. But oh, how we try. We want to serve God, but I want to serve the world too. I want the material things of this earth, the pleasures that are in it. And Jesus said, that can't be done. You're going to have to choose one or the other. One you're going to love, the other one you're going to hate. One you can be loyal to, the other one you're going to despise. So whom will it be? "Therefore, do not worry." Worrying shows that we've allowed the material things of this earth to become our master. Jesus gives us seven valid reasons in the verses that I've just read why we must not worry. And I want us to think very soberly on these seven reasons. This morning I plan to present four of them, and I hope you'll be back this evening, and we'll consider the last three reasons in this text that Jesus says, do not worry. And you may say, oh, I'm just a worrier. I mean, that's my nature. You can overcome it and not be filled with worry. And isn't that a wonderful thing? To put your trust and your faith and your confidence in the Lord. God has given us our lives and our bodies. In Acts chapter 17, and I'll read verses 24 and 25. "God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And so he gives us our life. He's given us this physical body. Genesis 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. And so from the dust of the ground, amazing, God just took that dust and made this very complicated body. He did it. So he's given us our body. He's given us our lives. Jesus is reasoning from the greater to the lesser. Since God has given us our bodies and he's given us our physical life, then surely we can trust him to give us food to sustain the life and clothing to cover the body. That's the point Jesus is making here in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Yes, life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Do you trust God for these things, for your food and your clothing, that he'll provide them? In Philippians 4, 4 through 7, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. In nothing, be anxious. There it is again. Some versions say, do not worry. In nothing, be anxious. Well, how can we reach that point where we're not anxious about the material things of this earth? He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that's how we can be anxious for nothing. By prayer and our request to God and thanksgiving for what he's done for us, then we can enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. If you worry, you do not trust the Lord. Oh, yes, I trust. No. You say, well, I'm worried about. Well, you're not putting your trust and your faith in the Lord. On two occasions, when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, a storm came up. On the first occasion, Jesus was asleep in the boat, and the waves are covering the boat. And they wake Jesus up. Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And he said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? They weren't going to drown out there. They had the Son of God with them. And he didn't come to this earth to drown in the Sea of Galilee. He came to this earth to die on the cross. And so they didn't need to be afraid, but they were afraid. Why? Because of their lack of faith in Jesus. On another occasion, you remember that the disciples were going across and a storm arose. And Jesus came walking to them on the water, Matthew 14. Peter asked permission to come and walk on the water to Jesus. And Jesus said, come. And Peter gets out of that boat and begins walking on the water. Now, I know we can be critical of Peter because I'm about to explain how he began to sink in that water. But you know, none of the other apostles got out of that boat. None of them asked Jesus, Lord, bid me to come to you. And Jesus did, and Peter got out and walked on the water. And I can see Peter as he's talking to his children or grandchildren, I walked on the water. Nobody else has ever done that. It was totally human. But anyway, he starts walking on the water to Jesus. And then he looks around at the boisterous wind, and he begins to sink. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, why did you doubt, O you of little faith? There's that statement again. Your doubting, your fear was caused by a lack of faith. You started walking on the water, believing I had the power to enable you to walk on the water. But then you begin to look around you and see how bad the storm is, and you begin to sink now because you've been in doubt that you could continue to walk on the water. But it was because of his lack of faith that he started to sink and would have drowned if it not been for our Lord. Worry takes all the joy out of life. You can't be worried and happy at the same time. It just doesn't go together. It'll take the joy out of this life. In Proverbs 16 and verse 20, but whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. It's a good verse. Proverbs 16, 20. Whoever trusts in the Lord, he's a happy person. She's a happy person. Because if I put my confidence in the Lord, he's going to take care of me. He's watching over me. I believe in God's providential care. The second reason Jesus gives is because God's concern for the animals. In verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And so the birds aren't worried. Here we are in the middle of winter, and they're still singing out there. They didn't plant. They didn't water. They didn't fertilizer. They didn't gather the crops and store them up somewhere. And God takes care of them. He watches over them. Elizabeth Cheney wrote a little poem called Overheard in an Orchard. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be. They have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. So we act like we don't have a heavenly Father. God feeds the animals and the birds. In Luke chapter 12, in verses 6 and 7, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And I'm reading from the New King James. And there's a footnote that said that's 1/8 of a day's wages. Two copper coins was very little money. 1/8 of a day's wages. And so these sparrows could be bought very cheaply. And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. I'm amazed at this. The very hairs of your head are all... You know how many hairs you got on your head? Most of us can't count them. I got fewer now than I had this morning because I lost some of them. But they're constantly falling out. But whatever it is, I can't even give you an educated guess. But my Father knows, and he knows you too, and he knows how many hairs you have on your head. That's how concerned he is about us, how much he loves us. Brother A.W. Dicas wrote a beautiful hymn he set to music. Lord, I believe, yes, I believe, I cannot doubt or be deceived. The eye that sees each sparrow fall, his unseen hand is in it all. You may have sung that song before. It's a beautiful song. Lord, I believe his unseen hand is in it all. His eye sees each sparrow that falls, a little tiny bird. God is aware of it. Surely he knows us and what we need. We can trust him for our daily bread. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And then Jesus asked the question, are you not much more value than the sparrows? In the latter part of verse 26, are you not of more value than they? Certainly we're more valuable than they. Because we're made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, and the Lord God made man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We're made in the image of God. We have a soul, a spiritual being. God made us so that he could have fellowship with us. He doesn't have fellowship with the birds, with the deer, with the fish. He has fellowship with human beings because he made us in his image that we may know him and love him and worship him. And he watches out for us. We are the recipients of God's grace. Jesus came and died for us. Again, he didn't die for any of the animals. You can name the cows, the pigs, the horses, whatever you want to name. He didn't die for them. He died for you and he died for me because we have a soul that's made in his image. God will supply our every need. In Philippians 4 and verse 19, it says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I love that verse. I want you to memorize it. Go home today. It won't take you long. It's a short verse. "My God shall supply your every need, not some of your needs, not most of your needs, every need." Do we believe it? God said it. "My God shall supply your every need according to his riches," and his riches are immeasurable, "in glory by Christ Jesus." The third reason he gives for not worrying is that oftentimes we worry over things over which we have no control. And therefore, worrying is useless. It's not going to do any good if we have no control over it. In verse 27, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Which one of you can do that? Worrying to make you grow taller. You may not believe it, but I've always been short. And I'm 5'7½". And I don't worry about that. It never has been a concern to me. As long as my feet can touch the ground, I'm all right. And when people start making fun of how short I am, I just tell them dynamite comes in small packages. So, but some people get all worried about their physical appearance. Just can come depressed, full of anxiety. "Just don't like the way that I appear. I'm not content. My ears are too big or too small. My nose is too big or too small." They just get all upset about it. Well, that's foolish. Worrying isn't going to make you grow any taller. It won't help. And so Jesus said, which one of you can add a cubit to his stature, or even an inch to his stature, by worrying? It's senseless to be too concerned about this physical body, because it's going to go back to the dust of the ground. The Father told Adam after he had eaten the forbidden fruit in Genesis 3 and verse 19. He said, "In the sweat of your face you're going to eat bread until you return unto the ground, for out of it you were taken. Dust you are, and in dust you shall return." And that has not changed. This body is going to go back to the dust of the ground, and you can't keep that from happening. As much as you buy cosmetics, as much time and attention you give to it, it's still growing older. And the body wears out. And those who are my age or older know we get more and more aches and pains. That's just the nature of things. 2 Corinthians 4:16. "Wherefore we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The spiritual body in us can grow more and more beautiful, more and more healthy. The inward man is renewed day by day, but the outward man is perishing. Now, that's a fact. And we can't change it. No man can change it. We're going to go back to the dust of the ground. It is the beauty of the heart that's important to the Lord, not the physical beauty. When Samuel was told to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be the next king, 1 Samuel 16, and Eliab, the oldest of Jesse's sons, come before him, and he looked like a king, he had a kingly stature. And God said, "No, I've rejected him." He said that God does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll read verses 3 and 4. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. God is telling the wives here, he said, don't worry about the outward appearance, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and a quiet spirit. That's very precious to God, that meek and quiet spirit. It ought to be precious to us. You know, if God held a beauty contest, it'd be so different from the beauty contest that man holds. Man judges the outward beauty, doesn't he? And he decides who's going to win the beauty contest by how beautiful that woman is. God doesn't. God said, I look at the heart. And so he's not concerned with his physical appearance. And most of us can be thankful for that. That he looks at my heart. And if I have a meek and quiet spirit, then that's precious in the sight of God. Jesus asked here in verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? And the answer is no one. Worrying cannot add years to your life, but it can take years off your life. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A cheerful heart does good like medicine. It does. Doctors will tell you, your attitude has a lot to do with the outcome of the surgery. You got to have a good heart. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. And the fourth point then, in the next verse, next few verses, starting in verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And so God beautifully clothes the flowers. Solomon was not arrayed as beautiful as the lily of the field. The flowers that we see about us, God clothes them. J.W. McGarvey, the fourfold gospel, he said to the Jew, Solomon was the highest representative of earthly grandeur, yet he was surpassed by the common lily of the field. The flowers are not servants of riches. They don't buy cloth and they don't clothe themselves. E.M. Zur, in his commentary, said the glory of Solomon's royal robes was artificial, made by the art of man, and doubtless was unexcelled by any king of his time. His general surroundings also were the greatest of his time. The glory and the beauty of the flower is natural, and hence is made directly by the hand of the Creator, without the instrumentality of man, which shows the ability of God to accomplish the most in the field of adornment and clothing. Flowers and grasses are of short duration. They're here today and then gone tomorrow. And he said, they're thrown into the oven. And in Palestine, that was literal. There are a lot of places where there wasn't very much wood. And so they'd go out and cut the grass of the field and the flowers, and they threw them into the oven in order to have fuel to prepare their food. But they're such in a short time that they're going to live, and they die. But God clothed them. And the beauty of the flowers, God made it. Now, if he clothed the flowers, don't you think he's going to clothe you? Those of us, for we're all made in his image. So since God thought enough of them to give them a beauty that excels that of Solomon, then certainly he'll care for us. Jesus gives the reason then why we worry, what we've already said. Oh, ye of little faith. Yeah, I trust the Lord. Yeah, you do, don't you? Oh, yeah. But I'm so worried, and I'm so upset, and I'm so fraught with stress. And no, back up. If you trust in the Lord, you'll trust that He'll take care of you. He's promised. Don't we believe His promises? In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times began. Titus 1 and verse 2. God will keep His promises. He loves you and He loves me. And His providential care is at work. If you're not a Christian, you have reason to worry about your eternal life and worry about your soul. Jesus said He's going to say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25:41, verse 46, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Need to be concerned about that. About your soul that's going to live on and on and on. The body's going to go to the dust of the ground, but the soul's going to keep on living. Where is it going to live? In heaven or in hell? We're deciding that now as to how we're going to live. If you become one of the Lord's sheep, and if you'll listen to His voice and you'll follow Him, you'll have eternal life. John 10:27 and 28. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand." The Lord knows His sheep. He said, those who will listen to Him and follow His example, He said, "I'll give them eternal life, and they'll never perish." You believe that? Jesus said it. You have eternal life if you've been baptized into Christ. Romans 6:3, "Or know you not that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death?" In Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Those are only two verses of the Bible that will tell you how to get into Christ. And both of them say the same thing. You have to be baptized into Christ, where there is eternal life. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Well, how do I get into Christ where there's no condemnation? By being baptized into Christ. I'm baptized into His death. That's where His blood was shed. And His blood will wash away all my sins. And I'm made pure and holy and clean in the sight of God. In Revelation 1:5, "To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." So Jesus died on the cross. His blood was shed. We're baptized into that death. That is the time when our sins are washed away and I become a child of God. My soul is made pure and clean. And I'm one of His sheep and I'm following Him and listening to Him. How foolish to stay worried about what's going to happen to my soul when I die. And you will die unless the Lord comes again very shortly. We're all going to die. And what's going to happen to your soul then? Well, you don't need to worry about that. It's very easy to get that word put aside. Obey the Lord. Do what He tells you to do. Believe in Him. Confess your faith in Him. Repent of your sins. Be buried with Him in baptism. And you become one of the Lord's sheep. You're in the straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life. And so there's no need for you to go home even today and be worried about, "I'm not sure where I'm going to spend eternity." Jesus has told us what to do. And put our faith and trust in Him. He will keep His word. We know He will. And He loves us. And He cares about us. He even knows how many hairs I have on my head and how many you have on your head. That's how much He's concerned about us. He wants us to be saved. He sent His Son to die for us so we can be saved. And if you're not one of His children, will you come as we stand and sing for your encouragement?